Emergency BA Mobile.
Emergency Mobile.
Good afternoon. How are you today?
Today outside is gorgeous. I have to do some errands, you know, a couple trips to the hospital. I have to go to the DMV later on. Typical day off. You don't work, but you still have to do something around, ain't it?
Yeah, you know, wait till you retire and you'll you wish you were back working.
Still working. And I guess I'm a little bit of retard too.
I've been up at a friend's house. He's helping me with this RC airplane that I purchased, and helping me figure out what I need to buy.
That's a little fun. It's I'm not gonna say it's quite expensive because it's not if you know where to look like, but it's pretty fun. Dave, he's very onto it. I don't know if he still does or not, but as far as I remember, he loved those things.
Dave and I've had several conversations, and basically, this airplane is not for beginners, and so. He was telling me I need to get the trainer program and controller and use it for a while. Get used to flying the plane that way. And so anyway, man, I've got a bunch of other stuff. It's got all the old controllers and. I need to switch that out to Spectrum, probably.
Did it run N4 MFW?
I couldn't get it started because he calls it a hot stick. It it was too close to the propeller. The glow plug slants forward slightly, and so anyway, so I'm gonna have to figure out. I guess they make a clip for it or something. And so no, I didn't get it started.
Talk to you sometime. If there's room for this particular glow igniter we use, it's you put it on there and it's got a bunch of LEDs that go across. If it doesn't light up at all, glow plug's bad. If it goes all the way to the top, then it's flooded and then it will idle back once it burns that off, and then you give her a crank and all you do is hit a button. And that thing will last you almost a year. You want to charge it like one or two times a year, depending on how much you use it.
We took the glow plug out and hooked it up to the glow plug thingamajig, and it glows, so it's working. So I just. I just have a lot of decisions to make about this airplane.
Thing, you might have to clean the carburetor out. Might take some WD-40 and spray in the input of the carburetor, and it's where the fuel goes in, and make sure that little jet in there is cleaned out if you can see it. All right, let me jump out of here. I'm going to give me a bite to eat. You and I need to talk some too, and I'll show you this thing. I don't know if I got I might have a starter that would start it. I just have to have a reverse rotation because all mine's set up for the outboards. But I'll talk to you anytime you need to. Talk to you later. This is N4MFW Mobile.
Well, I appreciate it, and I definitely need some, some more help, and I really, at this point, I really don't know what to do. Steve explained it to me. He says, it's like driving a old Malibu or a Corvette, and so, he's saying, you wouldn't want to learn to drive in a Corvette, so, I may need to fly a trainer before I fly this thing.
Well, I'm about to get inside of the hospital, so catch you later on the other side. That's a nice hobby. It's just, never tried it myself before. I like the drones, but not the plane. Yeah, I like to play with real planes, but those RC things are pretty funny to use. Anyway, I'm in a parking lot of the hospital, so catch you later. This is KB4NC Mobile.
All right, 73 is KB4CBA Mobile.
David, how you doing? N4DJC.
I'm good, Jerry. How about you?
Hey, I had the grandkids over last night. They're still here, so they're causing havoc. The Ouija one, we hadn't had them over in a while. You headed to play, or you headed somewhere else this afternoon?
I'm headed back to the house now. I'm over here in Inman, and I'm headed back to Taylor's.
Ought to be a nice trip. At least the weather's good today. It doesn't seem to be quite as cold as it has been, but it's still pretty chippy outside.
Chilly, but it's not bad, especially with the sun shining.
Wind's up very much today. That's what really bites into me. When the wind gets up, it really is. I don't have it. I usually don't wear a shell jacket or something like that, and I don't have anything to break the wind when I go outside. I need to start wearing something like that, though, when it's like it was the other day. It was terrible Christmas Day afternoon. That wind was, man, it just bite right through you.
That's the thing about cold weather. It doesn't bother me too bad as long as it's not windy, but when it's winding, wow, man. It just seems to cut right through you, so I can stand it as long as it's not windy.
I remember going to all those football games and going hunting years ago when I used to hunt and get up early in the morning. It'd be 16, 17 degrees sometimes. We'd go duck hunting or go deer hunting, and had to break the ice to put the decoys in the water. I hadn't done that in years. It's probably been 25 years since I've done that, but it didn't bother me back then like it does now. I was telling somebody, I said, I have trouble with my thyroid, and I said, the furnace didn't work, and the thermostat didn't work at all.
I think I need a new thermostat sometimes. Oh, me. Well, I don't know what the wife's got in store for the rest of the day. But I know she's got somewhere to be at 2:00, so I was trying to get back home before before she leaves.
You're gonna have to No, you got plenty of time. I thought you didn't have that much time. You got plenty of time, I guess. I was thinking it was closer to 2, but it's just not even 1 yet. But, I can't take the cold weather anymore. I can take the hot, but I can't take the cold. It's been like that for me for probably about the last 8 or 10 years, I guess. I don't know. Thyroid not working very well, and I finally got everything regulated with the medication I take, and if everything goes well, I have a pretty good day, but if I take it and eat too soon after I take it or don't, you know, it just messes it up. You eat for a day or two, it bothers me, but part of it's just getting older and not having the metabolism level that I had. Of course, you know, you exercise a lot. If I exercise, I feel a lot better. But I just haven't been out much lately. Our neighborhood is not real easy walking. They've got a lot of sweet gum trees out near the road. It's kind of dangerous walking out there among us. You know, those things. My wife tripped and fell over them several years ago, and she just about broke her arm once. Just like riding on ball bearings. But yeah, if they got those things out of the way, I think we'd enjoy walking in the neighborhood a little more often. It's not very busy out here. You don't have to worry about getting run over or anything like that.
Yeah, we got some sweet gum trees in the backyard. I know what you mean. And it's on a hill. And I busted my rear end several times mowing the grass and stepping on those things, and my feet go out from under me. Oh, me, I tell you. But our neighborhood doesn't have sidewalks, but it's pretty safe to walk. There's just one way in, one way out. Of course, the roads fork off after a little ways in, but most people drive sensibly in the neighborhood, so we'll go for a walk every now and then, but I'm usually getting my exercise on the tennis court.
Plenty of exercise doing that. Our neighborhood, we got basically three roads in, but you know, there's no, we're not a shortcut to somewhere else. It all dead ends down here at the lake, basically, so unless somebody gets lost and gets turned around in here or somebody's making a delivery, we don't have a lot of outside traffic. We got a few people, you know, we just have to, you know, we've got several people that have golf carts and they ride around on those things all the time. I don't understand that. I don't know what they do. I guess that's the way getting exercise. We got a lot of that going on. We don't have a lot of kids in there. We got a few more now, real young ones now than we had years ago, but most of the people here are a little bit older. We got some young couples in there that are bringing in some younger kids, and it looks more like it's beginning to look a little more like it was when we first moved here 25 or so years ago. But we don't have any sidewalks either.
Well, we lived in Northcliff up in Travers Rest. They had sidewalks, and as a matter of fact, we were connected to the Swamp Rabbit Trail, so you didn't even have to get on the road to get on the trail, and it was paved all the way to the trail. It was really nice to get on our bikes and hit the trail, and most of the time we went north, and that took us into the city of Travers Rest, and it was a lot of fun doing that. I enjoyed that.
Here out there, my daughter, one of her, actually a couple of her sorority sisters from Winthrop were from TR, and of course I used to go up through there when I fished. I go through Travers Rest in that area, going up towards Jones Gap sometimes. And it's a nice little area out there. I'm sure it's grown up a lot more than it was when we first started going up there. But both our friends are, they may live in, you know, somewhere around Powdersville, somewhere like that now. But they both moved back to the general area. I don't think either one of them are in TR anymore, but I know they seem to like that area, and I know it's pretty up there, or at least it has been, but I guess it's grown up like everything else is now, though.
Well, I think they have kind of for a good while there kind of fought growth. They didn't, I don't think they wanted Walmart to move in, and but it finally, they finally got a Walmart. And but there's still a lot of land up there that could be developed, but yeah, I don't know what the future holds for TR, but it's a nice place to live, that's for sure.
I used to stop in at Sunriff Outfitters if I was in the area. I used to stop by just to take a break from driving sometimes, and when I was headed back and forth to Jones Gap, I used to go to Jones Gap quite a bit years ago, but haven't been up there in, I guess, 8 or 10 years now. But it was a real, I really enjoyed trout fishing up there. And the park, it wasn't very busy back in those days, and now, you know, I noticed since they've implemented some of the virus restrictions up there, you can pay to get in line to get in now, which is kind of crazy.
Before CPA, yeah, I know. I remember the first time went to I took the senior adults to from the church and to I think it was, we went to Table Rock and they started charging, and some of them wanted to drive their own vehicles, and what they didn't realize was that if they had ridden the bus, then we just paid one fee. And you know, the church paid for that, but if they drove their own car, they had to pay. So they just, we got there, I stopped and paid, and so they just came on in and didn't pay. And so the ranger came by and said, you know, y'all got some people that, you know, didn't pay. And they were telling me, my senior adults were telling me that I owed the money, and I said, oh, no, no. I said, you chose to drive your car. I said, it's on you. I said, you know, if you'd have ridden on the bus, you wouldn't have had to pay.
They've got a nice area up at Jones Gap. Last time I was up there, they had nice parking lots all paved. And it goes fairly deep in there. And, you know, they close the gates. They used to close the gates at either 6 or 8 o'clock in the evening. So if you got anywhere fishing or something, you better get your butt out of there. If you weren't spending the night, otherwise you couldn't get out because they close the gates on you. And when I first started going up there, and I guess it was in the mid-90s, they had... It has a wild trout fishery. There's an old, you know, like a, well, that trout hatchery was up there years and years ago, and they still had a little, you know, a little concrete ring, you know, with like a little pool where they kept some of the big trout in there. But the rest of the Middle Salida was all wild trout, stream raised trout. And the, there was a club or somebody that owned the lower section below that. It used to be an old bridge, but it's got a concrete bridge in there. And then below the bridge, they leased it or something, and that's all part of the, considered to be part of the park now. It's only open, it used to be only open on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And so you better get up there and get you a spot. And you had, I think it was like $2 or so now, it's like $4 or $5. And you have to, like I was saying now, I was reading about it the other day, and you have to pay an additional $3 or $4 when you get in line when the park opens to be, and then they don't reserve your spot for you, which is kind of nuts.
It's interesting. I've never been fishing up there. My dad used to take me fishing when I was a kid, and I had a friend of mine that took me out on Hartwell and taught me how to fish for, we went bass fishing, and that was fun, and we caught a few bass, and enjoyed that, but gosh, I just haven't been fishing in years. I got too many irons in the fire in hobbies and like this airplane in my back seat here.
4DJC for ID. Yeah, I fished a lot. I trout fished, fly fished, and I did a lot of bass fishing years ago, but I hadn't done that in a long time.
He had a nice boat, and it's an inboard outboard at the 4.3 liter, Chevy engine, GM engine in it, and it was really nice. Thing would get up and go, and we used to have a good time going out, but. He let it sit out in the weather, and it, I think his tarp, rotted on him, and it started getting wet, and it needs all kinds of repairs now.
Glass boats a lot. I gotta jump off here for just a minute. I gotta run downstairs and get something started for the kids' lunch. I'll be back in about 3 minutes or so. I'll give you a call in a minute. N4DJC.
KB4CBA Mobile.
CBA KJ4EEP Mobile.
For EEP, I believe it is. KB4CBA, your name here is David. Good afternoon.
How you doing there, David? You got that call right, KJ4 Echo Echo Papa. It's Lane in Spartanburg. It's Lima Alpha November Echo. How's it going, Dave?
And I'm just headed back to the house here. I'm getting ready to turn on the Wade Hampton Boulevard.
I'm not sure when I'll lose this repeater out. It's on my repeater list in my radio, but I don't quite know where it's located. But I'm up here in Spartanburg, heading towards Charlotte, somewhere around exit 85. So seems to be doing good wherever it's at. Over.
Located top of Caesar's Head, about 3,500 feet. So you're hitting it pretty good right now.
Yeah, I heard some fishing talk. I've been on the side here for a little bit. Did I hear you say you fish hardwell?
Been fishing in probably 10, 15 years.
I took it up three or four years ago and got real heavy into it, and I hadn't been in probably 12, 13, 14 months, something like that, but there for about 2 years, it was pretty much an everyday thing. Fished hard oil a good bit, too, but it's one of those hobbies that once you catch a few, you can get into real quick, and then it doesn't get much easier from there, so it can get a little exhausting. Over.
I mainly like the bass fish, and I didn't have a boat, and a buddy of mine did, and so, we would go out until he quit going out in his boat, so I think he left the water in the manifold, and it froze and cracked the manifold, and he was going to have that fixed, and now it needs all kinds of repairs, so that thing hadn't been in the water in years.
N4DJC.
KB4CBA.
Had to go get the popcorn chicken started for the grandkids. But, what they say about a boat. Boat's a hole in the water you put money into.
Say that again.
I said, you know what they say about a boat? A boat's a hole in the water you pour money into.
It stands for bust out another thousand.
about, did we, Dave, N4DJC?
I'm just in a lot of traffic right here. On Wade Hampton, man, it's just crazy.
Station in, go ahead. I just jumped in for a second.
I was just saying, boat, we always said boat stood for bust out another thousand. It hurts your pocketbook for sure. This KG4 EEP, that's Echo Echo Papa. I'm getting on the edge of the repeater here, so I'll go ahead and be clear and let you folks talk. Dave, it was nice meeting you, and I'm not sure the call of that other station, but nice hearing you as well. KG4 EEP, I'll be clear.
Okay, Lane, well, you be careful. We'll head up the road there and enjoy this beautiful day. Go ahead, Jerry.
Yeah, Lane, you still saying getting in the repeater, Dave. And the handle is Jerry, is November 4, Delta, Juliet, Charlie. But, yeah, those boats, boats like horses and other things, two best days of your lives are the day you buy them and the bait and the day you sell them.
The only time I really wanted a boat was when we lived in Charleston. We lived about a mile from a place that you could put into the intercoastal waterway. And it was right there. We're very close to the Wapu Bridge and the drawbridge. And but that's about the only time I really wanted a boat. But I couldn't afford one back then.
I had a lake lot for years and years, and my parents did, and my in-laws did too, and so they always had boats. So I might have had a little fishing boat or something, but I never had anything, had an engine on over about 8 or 10 horsepower, so I didn't jump into the bass boat phase or anything like that. But you know, we lived in the area on Harl since the 50s. So I got about all the fishing, Harl fishing and boating I needed. I live about 100 yards from the lake now, but I don't have a boat. My son-in-law's got one at Portland, so we don't go out on that boat. It's just one of those things where you get so much upkeep to it, sometimes you just get tired of filling. I did have a sailboat for a while, and that was enjoyable. But that was when we were living up on Lake Wiley. And that's pretty good area to have a sailboat. But having something for salt water like intercoastal, that's a little bit out of my price range. The guys that do this sort of thing by the big trawler types, and you're talking about $300,000 for a nice boat.
Some money laying around.
Have it, period. Laying around or otherwise. That would be a friend of mine was a. He and his dad had started a business back in the 40s where his dad had, and he's one of these guys that was extremely wealthy, but you'd never know it. But he was telling me about it. He said, yeah, he had a boat on Lake Wiley. He said, I got a boat on Lake Wiley. I said, really? I said, what you got? He said, well, he said, I got a 29-foot slick craft. And, when you get above 25 feet, it's not $1,000 a foot. Sometimes it goes up to $5,000 a foot. And that was a beautiful boat. It had twin V8s in it. Man, that thing would fly. But we get in that thing, ride around that thing every once in a while. But, you didn't feel like Miami Vice, but you could have been.
Our oldest daughter, her husband's kin to, I can't remember the guy's name, he's a race car driver, and he has I guess it's not really a racing boat, but it's really souped up, and he got them up to 100 miles an hour, and I told her, I said, don't you ever get in that boat again.
the cigarette boats, but it was a beautiful boat, and it would fly. I don't think it'd do. It probably do 70 or 80, I guess. But you know, you just don't have a lot of. There's not a lot of places up there where you could run one that fast, I don't think. But he always wanted to get one of these little mini trawlers to go up and down the intercoastal. He looked at them. Matter of fact, we went to Florida and looked at some down there when we were doing our. He used to be a real avid skeet shooter, and we were going to shoot skeet down in Orlando at Orange County Club down there. And we stopped in some dealer, and that dealer started flipping out, you know, six-figure numbers for some of those boats, and that guy didn't blink an eye, and I said, good gosh, man. I was spending that much money for a house, much less a boat. But it was a beautiful boat, though. It was, I say it was a twin. It might just have been a single VA, but anyway, it was a beautiful boat. It could faster than I wanted to go on the water in 4DJC for ID.
I guess, Stan's boat would go about 40 miles an hour or so, and that was fast enough for me. And one night, he took me and my wife and another couple to this place. Well, it was still daylight when we left, and we were staying at a lake house, and so he had a dock there, and we went to this restaurant that was right on Hartwell, and so it got dark while we were eating, and so coming back, we were in the dark, and of course he had a real bright light, and the other guy that was on the boat, he was shining the light on the buoys, you know, to the left and to the right to make sure he was, you know, in the middle of the lake, because the lake was kind of low back then, and you didn't want to venture outside those buoys, and I was scared to death. It was pitch black dark, and you couldn't see a thing. He was just flying down through there. I don't think I've ever been any more scared.
That light on my father-in-law's pontoon, we'd get on there and go out and eat lunch or dinner somewhere. They lived where they had that lot and house, had a seven-bedroom house on the Georgia side, and we'd get on that thing, we'd head over to I can't think of the name of the place. Anyway, it was a nice little place where we could have lunch, and we could put the pontoon boat up that dock and that sort of thing, and eat and get back. And he knew his way. He'd been on the lake for years. He knew his way around, and we always went by the buoys. And the last few times we went out there, of course, he had a GPS then. It's a lot easier to find your way in and out, but if you don't have a GPS, and it's dark, I tell you, it's literally like being out in the middle of the desert, not knowing which way to go, except by the stars, if you can see the stars. And, of course, we'd be putting along about 10 miles an hour, so we wouldn't be flying down the lake or anything like that. We weren't in any particular hurry to go, but we used to do a lot of that, and it was enjoyable. I think a lot of those places are closed up now. I don't think there's many places where you could go out and get a bite to eat now.
So, especially with COVID. Well, maybe we can get a handle on it, and when the vaccine gets out to the public, but people are going to still have to, be smart and, if they don't want to catch it. But anyway, well, I'm in the garage here, or getting ready to pull into the garage, so I'm going to say 73s and unload this airplane and all the paraphernalia here. But we'll talk to you later, Jerry. You have a good day. Enjoy the QSO 73s, and I'll stick around for your final KV4 CPA.
Dave, you have a good afternoon. Good luck with airplane stuff. I know you still got some work doing. Probably have a good afternoon. Talk to you later. KB4CBA N4DJC. Clear.